17th. Friends are members Cotton, Hermit, Springer, Davidson, Sun, Pierce, and Navarre. And Smash Dana, the book chairman, wants to bring up a resource committee substitute, is that correct?
Yes.
How long do I just turn the chair over to you on this bill?
At this time, I'll bring up House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill, for CS for Senate Bill 267 Resources, which is before you. It's an act relating to the transfer of limited entry permits upon the death of a permit holder. And at this time, I entertain a motion to put this committee substitute before us.
Let's see here, I'd seen the bill before, but I guess I'm not familiar exactly with what the CS does. Who drafted the CS?
Yeah, it just, on page 114, it just changes that to on a form instead of, let's see, on the original bill, it says on the reverse of the permit certificate, so it just says on a form there. And then line 16 and 17 of the CS, it says, the same thing, designated on the form. If any does not survive, the permit passes as part of the permit holder's estate. And who's making those amendments up?
This is Deborah Raymer from the Resources Committee. The amendments were proposed by the Limited Entry Commission, Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission, so that they weren't bound. For one thing, the way they put this on their form and statutes, rather, they had to do that. And I think probably there are other people here that could explain better the other amendment also.
Bob, do you want to get the final?
My name is Robert Hickerson, I'm a lawyer with Alaska Legal Services. The changes on the CS were at the request, as Deborah says, of the Limited Entry Commission, because they wanted to provide a form to make the designation rather than the back of the certificate. The other two changes they requested was to change decedent to permit holder to make it consistent with the initial language at the top of the statute. Both of those technical wording changes. As the chair, co-chair suggested, the purpose of the bill is to make it easier to transfer permits where there is a decedent who does not have a surviving spouse, avoid probate, which is often costly and lengthy, and also avoid some disputes over who's going to get a permit when it's many times the only estate, only asset of the estate.
How does this work with the Uniform Probate Code? Where you may have a will that passes all the assets of the person, but does not specifically state the permit.
Representative Sun, through the chair, this doesn't affect Uniform Probate Code at all. This will take this asset out of the estate for probate purposes, much like any right of survivorship or insurance policy or something like that. So if there is a will and it is probated, this provision will not apply. It's only in those cases where there is no will or where there is a designation that will be taken out of the estate.
Thank you. I'm just curious, why, if we're trying to make this clear and also easier, why are we adding another form to it? What's wrong with the back of the actual certificate?
Well, I think the Limited Entry Commission's objection to that is that the certificates are only issued once, whereas these forms can be provided with a renewal on an annual basis, which they have to revise as it is, and that would provide a zero fiscal note. Those questions, the answers to those questions are probably more properly directed to the Commercial Fisheries Entries Commission, but these are the suggestions they made, so that you get a zero fiscal note and also not have to recall all the certificates if somebody wanted to make this designation. This way, somebody could call in, they don't have a surviving spouse, they could call in and say, "Send me your form." It could be sent out with the annual renewal, they could make their designation, send it back into the commission.
I
So the intent is these forms will be on file with the commission? They could be anywhere, though.
Representative Son, I really don't know the answer to that question, but what do you mean they could be anywhere?
Well, you don't have to send the form back to the commission. I think this concept comes, Madam Chair, from the Native Land Claim Settlement when the stock certificates were issued. There's a provision on the back of the stock certificates to designate how you want it to pass. And that's probably where this concept came from. But this says on a form designated, provided by the commission, you could fill out the form, put it in your closet. I assume that after you die and somebody finds it, that would be valid, but I'm not quite sure how you prove it. You walk into limited entry with the form and say, I found this.
I really don't know what to propose. I assume that they would address it by regulation or some such thing. I just know that these were the changes they requested, and they were drafted and put in the bill.
Madam Chairman, I move the CS be adopted with the original bill.
Any objections to adopting the CS as before? Hearing none, CS before.
The original motion?
Yes.
Move to pass out the House CS for CS Senate Bill 267.
Any objections to the motion? Hearing none, motion is substitute Senate Bill 267. Resources.
Can you get someone from limited entry to get a hold of me on this one?
Okay. Right away.
It would help. Yeah.
Does anybody here wants to testify on House Bill 289?
Yeah, please.
My name is Rod Swope. I'm a special staff assistant to the Governor on Resources.
I got to figure that out.
I guess I'd just make a couple comments about SB 289. The amendment is an improvement, but I'd like to point out that the statement that state policy is consistent with Secretary of Interior policy is not true. We don't advocate nor support exploration and development of the entire coastal plain at this time. Our position was that a certain portion of the area be looked at for future study for the caribou. So I think there's a misleading statement. Secondly, I guess we have concerns with regard to the makeup of the council. Contrary to the way we make state resource policy, there's no representation by the Commissioner of Department of Fish and Game, no representation by the Commissioner of Department of Environmental Conservation. And while the governor would have the option to do so, there's no local representation either. Certainly the North Slope Borough, as well as some of the special interest groups, should be represented in any committee like this. Finally, I guess I would point out that the Congress is the one that makes the decision. They have to make a single decision, and that's whether or not to open a refuge for exploration and leasing. And I think the House, the Senate, and the administration are all very supportive. So I guess I don't quite understand why we need a special counsel at some expense to the state to make those sort of decisions. That's all I have to say.
Anyone else want to testify? Sir?
I'm Bruce Garrity from Senator Coghill's office. The senator has no objection to your amendment deleting lines 11 through 14 and inserting this language here that Ned showed me a few minutes ago. Other than that, the as staff to the Senate Resources Subcommittee on ANWR, the committee felt that in order, since there was some diversity among opinions as to how the ANWR should be open, that this council could act as getting a consensus together and then work jointly before Congress in presenting that position, and in that manner would add weight to getting the coastal plain open. And if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them as to how this thing developed.
Thank you, Bruce.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, Gail Gatton, representing the Alaska Environmental Lobby. And I have some problems with the first finding that the state policy, even the committee substitute, supports opening the coastal plain. I'm not sure that there is still a unified state policy on opening the entire coastal plain. And perhaps you want to consider an amendment to that that deals with what I believe is the state position right now, which is to not do any drilling or leasing in the core calving area. A technical amendment on line 16, the word requires should actually be require. And in section 2 of the bill, I think besides the local representation and the additional commissioners of the other resource agencies that have been recommended, rather than loading the council up with legislative people, you could change where the president of the Senate gets to appoint people and the speaker of the House. You might want to change one person to public member so that it's obvious that that's not additional legislators, but indeed allows us to get people representing a broader view of the public on there. And you could do the same for the governor also, I think, which would allow for a broader representation on this. But I would agree with Mr. Swope that indeed this is probably unnecessary, and a $150,000 burden to the state right now that is a little bit premature. Thank you.
Senate Finance Committee cut it back to $100,000. Well, I'll tell you, my general thought on this is I saw the findings section as a way to make a statement that could be read a lot of different ways, but to show general support on the part of the state for some development in the coastal plain. And this committee knows we spent a lot of time talking about some of the issues, including the calving of the caribou, which we will hopefully get a first-hand chance to observe unless we're in special session on June 8th. Also, some of the other issues that have plagued this main issue include land trades, which I've had a big problem with and would prefer to make a negative statement about, but I think that at best we can say that the consensus hasn't been reached on that particular issue yet, especially since we haven't seen the final outcome of the land trades. But if this committee is doesn't want to move this bill out, I guess that's fine with me. I'd like to insert this language in the stead of the Senate language. I felt that was sort of a rubber stamp, whatever the secretary had to say. As far as the makeup of the council, I don't really feel wed to the way it's put together here, but I didn't really have that big a problem. It looked like it was three from the governor's office, three from the Senate, and three from the House. Maybe there's some other ideas on how a council like that might best be established. But another thing that I see is that there's going to be legislators traveling to Washington, D.C. The Senate president told me that Bennett Johnson's staff had invited the Senate to come. Now, I don't know whether that means that the House wasn't invited or whether the governor's office will show up anyway or just what, but it seemed like it might not be a bad idea to have some sort of a coordinated effort on part of the state government here, and this was one approach to that end. Again, maybe others have an idea on how to better structure that approach. Madam Chairman.
I just want to throw out an idea. You know, if we are going to pass this piece of legislation out, it seems like we could just totally delete one of Section 1 and just let it read like, you know, if that is there, and then, you know, you talk about not reaching a consensus or anything, and that's just about, I think, where we're at. And I think Section 2B, it says, the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge Policy Council shall seek to achieve a consensus in the state on issues relating to the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge and advocate these positions before the Congress in other forums that the council considers desirable. And I think, you know, maybe just not saying what the state policy is, because, you know, there really isn't anything. But if this council were to go forward, you know, maybe we can discuss in committee here what the makeup of that would be, and if people, you know, could agree with the other parts of it, just like monitoring congressional action and things like that, and maybe putting in the other resource commissioners, you know, I don't know. And then also, there's, I don't know if Rod was talking about this, but wasn't there $150,000 put in for the governor's, whatever it was?
Supplemental?
Did you ever, you never got the money?
No.
No, okay.
But the governor's contingency fund at least contained enough money to where I assume you're able to get the effort started, and I think you've got money in the FY88 operating budget to continue that, isn't that correct?
Right. Actually, we didn't get any money to get started.
I'm just saying that you had funds in your contingency budget.
Yeah, yeah.
Good use.
Right, existing funds. And then we do have operating money to keep on going.
By the way, this is for the committee's information. I've submitted an interim budget request to the Speaker's office that would have some funding for travel to Washington, D.C. for members of the committee if you're interested in going for this particular purpose. So even though you, if this, regardless of the fate of this bill, the members of this committee would probably have an opportunity to at least make one trip to D.C. on the this committee's budget. Sometimes these things are, there's an ability to coordinate them, and other times there isn't. I know when during the D2 days, there was several of us back in Washington, D.C. at different times advocating the state's position, and if you lined us all up and asked us to recite what the state's position was, you'd get a different answer out of each one of us. And it may well be that that'd be the case here, too. Any other ideas, Mr. Davis?
Not an idea, but I would like to concur with Representative Furman. I think that we don't really have a state policy at this point. And to codify it, I think, could possibly be a misleading. So I don't really have any big problems with the bill, but I'm not quite sure what the state policy is at this point.
Representative Pearson, then Springer, and Hoffman.
Mr. Chairman, I would support your language in the amendment. Mr. Swope just testified to us that everyone is already very supportive, I assume, of voting. Mm-hmm. He said that he didn't know why we needed this because everyone was already very supportive, so why did we need to have a special counsel now? What is it we're supportive of? I think that there's been a lot of, I keep hearing people say, although I maybe have problems with the Court Academy, or although I maybe have problems with the land trades, or although I maybe have problems with something else, time and time again I hear people say, but we are supportive of eventual opening of Canmar to exploration. And usually the people going in say into development, and I don't think that it hurts for this legislature to make a statement to that effect. I've heard that from the administration, from the other body, and from members of this body. I think that most people on this committee, I haven't heard anyone on this committee say that they were unalterably opposed to ever having exploration or development of Anwar. And I don't know why we can't go ahead and say all I've heard is talk about cabs, and I've heard talk about land trades, but everybody keeps popping up and saying, oh, but I support eventual expiration and so on and so forth. You gotta know what's there, and it's good for the state, and I gotta live to it. So what's wrong with saying that?
Well, I disagree with the statement that we don't have a state policy.
No, no.
State policy is what both bodies decide it is. And if we put that bill before the body and vote on it, that's what the state policy is going to be. And as to the, if there are objections or not, sure, there are a lot of details. And we have heard repeatedly that, number one, in some scientific areas, we maybe don't have all the data to work out the details on implementation of policy. And a policy statement that recognizes that we have to have an environmentally responsible oil and gas exploration points that exactly out. But I think that that section one is a very important and integral part of that bill. Without it, just creation of a council, it's kind of senseless at that point. I would support both move on the bill and let the Senate and the House decide if that is a policy statement or not.
Mr. Hoffman?
No, I guess I agree with Henry Springer, but the way that Section 2B reads, it says that this policy council will seek to achieve consensus on the state issues, and then from that, they will advocate those positions before Congress. It does not state that what they achieve in receiving a consensus will come back before the legislature for consideration. And I think that that this language is a little bit too loose in that area. And I think that we should not only be looking at the state interests, but there are several other bodies that are looking at opening up ANWR, and they may be different to the state. And it's been said, you know, several times that if we as a state and the different factions within the state don't go back to Congress on a uniform front, that this will prolong the opening of ANWR, if not delay it for an indefinite period. So I guess I'm a little bit concerned about this language, and it seems as though we need to tighten that up.
Mr. Davidson, Mr. Sun.
I believe I've spoken to Swans. I would yield to the representative.
Yes.
Ketchikan.
I guess I have a lot of problems with this. I think it's an obvious or a way to end run the resolution that we've had in committee. I don't necessarily support the opening of ANWR without some of the issues that we've talked about being considered, the environmental aspects, the local hire aspects, the benefit to the state, a lot of other aspects that, you know, it's kind of conditional. So I got problems there. And the makeup of this policy council, I think, doesn't make sense to me at all. It leaves the public out in the limb. It doesn't take in consideration the municipalities. Doesn't take in consideration the people that live in the area. I mean, we got basically a governmental body set up here. And who are we to tell the governor which commissioner he wants to have on it? I think that's a little overbounds. I got real trouble with the structure of it. And I think Representative Hoffman's right. We're going to just give the decision that we have in this committee regarding the policy of the state over to this council. They're going to run out and make some kind of consensus decision, say this is the best shot we can give. We'll take a vote. It's 5-3. Let's go to Congress and advocate it. And, you know, you don't need to come back to the legislature. You can just take the ANWR resolution we have and just put it in the drawer. You know, the issue doesn't come back here, and I'm not sure I want to give this 9-member body here that decision.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I certainly concur with the concerns of Representative Hoffman and Representative Sun. And as a representative from District 27, who has three different entities involved in the land exchange situation, and who I feel have contacted me rather sparsely or very little at any rate, maybe the makeup should also include someone from one of those three groups, or at least their point of view should be well represented. And I would also take issue with Representative Pierce's comment. While I've not indicated I'm unalterably opposed to ANWR, I certainly have not come out full force supporting it, because I'm definitely in a wait-and-see mode, despite the fact that my people are heavily involved in the land exchange. So that's all I have.
Question to Bruce. 926 Section 2B. Would that, is the Senator looking at land trades as being one of the issues involved in that?
There's several issues. There's the caribou, the land trades, the 90-10 issue. Those are the types of issues that there hasn't really been a consensus on. You've heard from the governor's representative about the exclusion of the core calving area. We've received conflicting testimony on that as far as what is actually, would transpire in the coastal plain in regards to the caribou. There's a 90-10 issue, whether we're negotiating from a zero to 90%, or that we actually have the 90% royalty share locked away. There's the nature of the land exchanges, whether or not they are similar to other land exchanges that have been approved by the legislature. There's a whole bunch of different issues involved. And that's what Section B speaks to. The resolution that was also developed through the hearings was to take a position on some of these issues, and then this council would probably not have been necessary, because then the legislature would have made a statement of what the legislature felt was should be the state's policy on ANWR. But lacking that, the Senate committee felt that there should be a forum through which consensus could be arrived at. And many scenarios were worked up to do it in a fiscally responsible manner. And a 9-member council that would be able to travel the state and hold meetings with the various interests that would be involved, the municipalities, the native groups, and the public, and basically do a roadshow similar to what the Senate did and take these positions back to Congress would probably be the vehicle through which that could take place. And so the council was an option.
Mr. Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Garrity, what in fact have we derived from the Senate roadshow that you talked about? What kinds of information have come in from their efforts to gather this kind of information?
We have, I think it's about a 1,400-page transcript of testimony that state and federal government officials, the public, the Native Lands Group, environmentalists, oil industry, pretty much the same as probably what you've gotten here in committee, only it was in a much more intensive atmosphere. It was full 2-day hearings in Fairbanks, Anchorage, Ketchikan, and Kodiak. And what the committee eventually, the subcommittee's opinion was eventually unanimously passed through the Senate resources and then through the Senate in the form of SDR-7. The issue of the caribou, for instance, the committee felt that after hearing the caribou issue till they couldn't stand to hear about caribou anymore, was that the core calving area could be taken care of through a well-designed leasing program, that it could be excluded until they had it could be the last area that would be leased.
Is that reflected in the resolution?
No. Right. No. It was in the original resolution, in the 13-page resolution that was shortened down to the 3-page.
Thank you.
You see? I mean, there's... Does that answer your question?
I'm not sure.
Well,
what was the question?
What did you learn on the roadshow that you didn't learn in Juneau, I think? But.
Well, there was one person that testified in Ketchikan. I went down to that. One Ketchikan person. Two.
How many hours did he talk?
Well, he had lived in Fairbanks. He was pretty good. He'd been up on the range.
He wants to do is fine with me. It seems like there's some concern about each of the sections. And the co-chairman has a concern with the first section. Seems like Mr. Sund and others have a concern about section 2A. Mr. Hoffman has expressed a concern about section 2B.
Who's on the back? Welcome to the last day of resources.
My feeling about, like, on the land trade, one of the reasons I thought we couldn't make a statement about that is because we really haven't seen what they are yet. So it's a difficult issue. The caribou now, just because, and we are all, those of us that are interested are able to go up there, are going to go up and try to look at the caribou, but I don't think that's really going to be the scientific resolve of the issue, although I think it will give us maybe more of an incentive to learn more about it, or who knows what. I guess I probably have a concern about the about section 2B as well. Depends on which nine people happen to be on this committee, then they can suggest that they have resolved all the issues and present to Congress what the consensus is. I'm not convinced that that can happen. Mr. Garrity, do you have a question?
As far as the makeup of the committee goes, the governor, the president of the Senate, and the speaker of the House is perfectly able to designate a public member, so long as this is statute. This could have been a concurring resolution, and that could have established a council, but then they would have been limited to legislative members.
Well, let's see. I don't know how to get there from here. Why don't we have a Mr. Navarro?
I just wanted to say that I...
Who won the game?
We did.
Oh, okay.
I have some problems with Section 2B also, and I don't quite know how to resolve that, but as far as Section 1, I'm assuming this is a new Section 1.
That was my language proposed to replace the other Section 1. It was an attempt to make as generic a statement as possible in favor, while at the same time reflecting environmental concern and, through the mention of the 1920 Mineral Leasing Act, the interest that the state has if it's open.
I don't have any, I like this one better, but, and I don't have a problem with that because I certainly do support opening that. The problem is trying to figure out how we resolve all the conflicting opinions of how do we open it and what the state's revenues are going to be and where the core county areas are and whether we open that area up. That's the problem, and I support trying to find some consensus on that. Obviously, the legislature's had 120 days this year, and we haven't been able to do that yet. I think we ought to send some message that we're in support of opening ANWA. How we do it is still an open question that this doesn't really address.
Well, anyway, my thought was that we could let me do it this way. Are you going to
take it?
Let me give some show of hands here to see what the interest of the committee is. Is there an interest on the committee to pursue this, to try to resolve these questions? How many people are interested in trying to resolve these questions in this bill? Two. I mean, besides me. So, how about, the only other thing I could think of would be to, at this point in time, would be to pass a simple House resolution, but I'm not sure that that's even worth attempting at this point. So if I was, do I gauge correctly the interest in this bill? Is that there's three people on the committee that are interested in this bill at this point?
Then raise your hand.
Oh, okay. How many people are interested in trying to pass a bill out today? All right. It appears we have five people who are interested in trying to pass a bill out. All right.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we delete Section 1. No, lines sub one, lines 10, or, yeah, lines 11 through 14.
Just to flat delete them, huh?
I thought that'd be where you start.
All right. I'd amend that by offering my substitute language.
I'll ask for the visual question.
So we can vote on the amendment to the amendment.
I guess if I can comment on that, Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure we have a state policy, and I think Representative Herman's point was that maybe we appoint these people to try to establish something or find a consensus, but by stating that you have a policy and then in the later end saying you want to try to reach some consensus, you've kind of predetermined the goal. And maybe there isn't any consensus to be reached on opening Anwar, and I don't know how you, if you arrive at the decision there is no consensus, how you stated that state policy is to open Anwar. It's kind of backwards to me, so.
Mr. Chairman, if I could leave the table.
We're going to have a committee discussion on it here, I think, at the moment.
I Mr. Cargill.
Yeah, he can leave.
Oh, is that what your question?
Thank you, yeah.
All right. You don't have to ask permission.
His name's Schultz.
What did I say?
Cargill.
Yeah. It's getting late, I know.
They look like
they make a mistake.
No, I don't think so. I do have one question. I heard you mention this the other day. It says production of the 1920 Mineral Leasing Act.
That's the 90-10 split.
Oh, okay.
That's the inference to that.
That's a codified way of saying 90-10.
Okay.
I have a question on your
end. Madam Chairman.
Yeah, what environmentally responsible would that mean? So you could say you're supporting opening it up, but environmentally responsible oil and gas exploration, would that mean at some point no exploration?
Like I said, I mean, I designed that very carefully by saying environmentally responsible, and I with the full understanding that someone more than one interpretation could be derived from that, from those two words.
If I could answer you, the question is supports opening in the first line. It says you're going to open it, and then it just says about how you're going to do it. And I assume we do almost everything environmentally responsible. I hate to be environmentally irresponsible. I think the assumption's made that you're going to open it.
Yeah, that's the assumption
And I guess my argument for that is that, you know, we argued long and hard in the committee about all the conditions on opening it, right? We had a lot of environmental conditions, land trade conditions, local hire conditions, a lot of other issues that we never reached a point on of even trying to move a resolution that just said this, so. I don't know, I would oppose putting that amendment in.
Mr. Hoffman.
I guess my position would be that that after it was proven that it was we were going ahead with an environmentally responsible plan, that then we would support opening the coastal plan.
How would that? I'm not sure how you propose to word that then.
You're just saying we're going to open it, and we're going to open it, and then we're going to prove that it's environmentally responsible, then we're going to proceed. But I guess we're superseding ourselves. You know, I think that we have to prove that any plan is going to be responsible, any plan is going to be environmentally responsible before we make the decision to open the plan.
There again, I could extrapolate from that statement that your concern would be taken into consideration there. I mean, it would be, we support opening it to environmentally responsible exploration, development, and so forth. So if it weren't environmentally responsible, then we wouldn't support it. Or you could say it a different way, I suppose.
A lot of different ways.
May support.
Time to vote here, Mr. Chairman. I would call a question.
Is there anything else on this particular, we got an amendment to the amendment. John's amendment was to delete section one, or actually lines 11 through 14. And my amendment to the amendment was to add this after we deleted the first. Mr. Davidson.
Mr. Chairman, one of the concerns I have is my brief tenure here is how easily what we do becomes state policy. The Finfish experience yesterday is a case in point. It seemed that I just have a problem without knowing what the parameters are at this point, what that state policy should be. So I don't have language that would address my concerns, but I certainly have them.
Well, like I said, there's five people that were interested in trying to accomplish something, so we can walk through these motions and see where we arrive. Those in favor of the amendment to the amendment? Five. So the amendment passes. Do others have additional amendments or other?
I'll withdraw my amendment, Mr. Chairman.
That's right. We have to bound in on vote on the main motion. Those in favor of the main motion. There are five votes for that.
Five more. Didn't quite work.
Now, there's people who are concerned about, I don't think anybody had any concern about section.
I have another amendment, Mr. Chairman, on line 16. I think grammatically, maybe we can turn requires into require.
Ask unanimous consent on that. Appreciate it.
And line 16, the word properly, I'm not sure what it means that the state should properly monitor the federal process. Perhaps we should just monitor it. And I would move to delete the word properly. Not sure this group's going to be capable of doing anything properly.
I don't have any problem with that. Is that a motion with a request for unanimous consent? Seeing no objection.
Mr. Chairman, I would propose for discussion on line 17 that perhaps we could put a period after the word process and delete the rest of the sentence.
I like ad hoc groups.
That so it would just be the long-term effects of that congressional action will have on citizens of Alaska require that the state monitor the federal public process.
So your motion is to place a period after process on 17 and delete the remainder of the sentence.
I just wanted to throw it up for discussion here. I'm not just sound look like a good idea, but I'm not sure what.
Mr. Chairman.
Now they're trying to get the ball game. I don't
see any problem with it. Do you? I mean, with the language there.
Well, I hope that's not the only thing, only way we're going to monitor the congressional election. Well, just to get it going, Mr. Chairman, I'll just move the amendment.
So the amendment is to delete through an ad hoc group established for that purpose.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And delete some more problems, right?
We already done. Okay. I'm not sure they want to vote for the motion yet. That's why I haven't called for the question yet. Yeah, okay. Those in favor of the motion, raise your hands. Motion passes.
It wasn't that strong of an idea.
Well, here's another idea. Instead of this is what Mr. Hoffman had a problem with, is 2B. instead of saying that we'll give, that we'll empower this council to decide what the consensus is and advocate that in front of the Congress, we could give them a different task. We could suggest that they seek to achieve a consensus in the state on issues relating to the Arctic National Wildlife Range Refuge and report their recommendations for consideration to the legislature.
Yeah, I have
after positions, after positions on line 20.
Not ad, but not no. advocate.
After ratification by the legislature.
No, I like the chairman's motion. That, could you just restate that?
Pass a resolution next year describing really what the consensus was on the issues.
Before the legislature.
I see it.
I support that.
Any other discussion on that concept?
I support that also.
Why don't you just go ahead and ask your questions?
Mr. Chairman, I was just wondering, in that case, do you want to put a deadline on when they'd come back at the beginning of the next session? And I think you can.
There's a fiscal note.
Fiscal note, $100,000.
If the bill passed, it would be funded in the budget.
Go to every major corporation in the state.
They come back, catch can. I could find another person to talk to. So the language, Mr. Chairman, on line 28 after refuge was and report back to the legislature. Report back to the second session of the 15th legislature.
Yeah, that's easy enough to report to the legislature. But then the question becomes, what happens then? Do they?
What would normally do? Mm-hmm.
The legislature will decide after we look at his findings.
Never been back.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
This is before us. I don't know that I'd be willing to say it's taking its place.
As far as I'm concerned, that's what's happening.
This is taking its place.
This is taking the place of the resolution. If we require them to report back to the legislature, then this is a part of the resolution process. They can pick up where we left off with the resolution, carry it forward through the interim, and come back and see what we got.
Really, now the fact is, whether or not there's going to be any new information on caribou, I'm not really sure that's going to be the case, but there is going to be some new information on land trades. And there's going to be some better information as to what the Congress's action may turn out to be on some other issues, like the share that of the revenues the state might receive. What do you think, Rod, as far as you're concerned? Does this sound like it might have some promise in your eyes?
Yeah, it's moving in the right direction. It's better.
Well, okay, I'd move then that on line 28 afterward and report to the second session of the 15th legislature. 15th Alaska State Legislature.
I don't want them to get to the wrong state.
Otherwise, they come in the same day like the day.
Yeah, right.
Did that submit a report, or are they going to come in with a verbal report? Are we talking about written or? State policy
exists. I'd say that. What about when?
It's a bill.
Just at the beginning of?
Yeah, by chance, I would say through by February 1.
Report by February 1 to the
Why the February 1?
That gives you, 2 weeks after the session starts for them to get their thing bound and printed or whatever. That's very difficult.
They can continue working clear up till June, but just so we have a preliminary report on
it. The point is, I think we only have it at least on the first. If we're going to screw down the revenue this year, we better have it before we even get down there.
Well, what happens? I mean, I guess they're going to practice. They may be ready by then, but
you'll
end up with a need to have a couple more meetings and finalize or have the report printed. That's like, when are we going to start? What day do we start next year?
11th.
So that gives you, what, 18 days, 20 days.
Oh, this?
February.
Yeah. Oh, we haven't started on that yet.
Go ahead, Mr. Chris.
Representative Sun made a comment about all the debate on this issue, and while we indeed heard a lot of hours of debate on the issue, this committee has never debated the issue. Mm-hmm. We have never debated the issue. This is the first time, and I think it's kind of late to be doing it at 9:36 at night, before the last time of the session, I honestly do, and I think that if we're going to change this so that somebody's bringing a report back, let's have it back when we start next year. I assume we're all going to be keeping close track of what they're coming up with, since some of them are some of us. And why not bring it back to us early so that we can take some action?
Yeah, I don't really have a problem with that. I felt like February 1st was early enough, but it's just a matter of 3 weeks there. What date would you suggest, the opening date, or give them a week?
Have it back before us on the opening day.
I don't really care.
Because the staff, I think that the staff would end, if this is interim staff, the staff ends the day we come back. The funding for staff, so.
I don't really have a problem with that. Does anyone else, how does everybody else feel like on that? That is a real tough point with me.
First day, opening day, huh?
First day off.
Whatever that date
first
is.
Day.
With a consensus.
Well, I don't know if they're going to have a consensus. They're going to report back. They're going to seek to achieve one, and then it will report back as to what they were able to do.
If they...
We'll be ready on the first day.
If they have a consensus, they're going to report back.
Move it.
Hey, what about the makeup? Move the amendment?
Mr. Davis?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, the original budget, or the budget, indicates a staff of 12 months, and so are we shortening them?
No, they stay in existence till June 30th. This gives somebody staff all next session.
They just report their first.
They ought to expire at the day you turn the report in. So we should read the note to the Finance Committee on the fiscal note that it would only require 8 months funding for apparently two people.
With the fiscal note, this has to go to Finance Committee, right?
Yeah, it's got a referral to Finance. That's why I'd like to get it out tonight.
Two-thirds of that funding, right? Two-thirds of the fiscal.
That makes sense, yeah. So I think they'd already cut it down to $100,000, so we can recommend that it be prorated out of the base of two-thirds.
You get to keep half the difference?
Mm-hmm.
For the committee.
Committee staff? Committee travel?
Well, this committee, like I said, I mentioned before, this committee is going to have people want to take legitimate trips to Washington, D.C. for the purpose of informing themselves or advocating their own particular positions. I think that funding will be available. What about now? So the only question remaining then is the makeup of the council. Any other proposed changes on that? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we'd made the motion on the section B there. Is there an objection to the conceptual amendments that they report back the first day of the next session?
I'm going to get some idea how this thing reads now.
The bottom line?
Yeah.
Line 28.
The Arctic National Wildlife Refuge Policy Council shall seek to achieve a consensus in the state on issues relating to the refuge and more, and report to the legislature.
This is second legislature.
The report
the
back.
First day.
Report back on the first day.
If they seek it.
I'm just trying to figure out where you were putting it. I didn't.
Report back to the second session of the first legislature.
That's after hand.
On the first day.
On the first day.
And is that prefaced on if the consensus is
staff is all.
They're given an assignment to They shall seek to achieve. That means they will try.
So they're seeking it.
They will try, and they will come back and they will report what happened. They will either report the consensus, or they will report the minority and majority of viewpoints, or lack of consensus, whatever it might be.
By definition, it's due.
Well, actually, you know, I don't know about you, but I feel more comfortable with that than letting nine people wander loose and represent to the United States Congress that they've achieved a consensus.
Mr. Chairman, I agree with you totally. I don't want you wandering loose in Washington.
Well, I was going to disagree with that. I was going to say, you know, Mr. Chairman, I've got full confidence in wandering right back there. And great. You know, I have no problem here. I'm surprised.
You know that there's an unwritten rule on these things that you don't, it, like where it says the chairman of the House Resource Committee, of course, there are two chairs of this committee, and the tradition is that if the chairman doesn't want to do it, or for one other reason, some other reason, can't make it, well, they can delegate the authority to somebody else. So you could be, for instance, you know, it could be you.
We certainly don't want him wandering loose in Washington.
You don't want that.
It could be Representative Schultz and Representative Springer.
Oh.
I won't go. Last time I was in Washington, I got rolled. My wallet was gone.
Yeah. Don't even want to hear the story.
Stop.
I do.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I have a little trouble with the makeup of this, and I've been trying to struggle a little bit on how to do it. I don't think it's really in our position to tell the governor which commissioner to appoint. And I think it's rather unprecedented, as far as I could see, that the Speaker of the House appoints somebody other than a member of the legislature to one of these things. I don't know that I can recall the Speaker going out and appointing people from the public.
Well, I have a suggestion. What why don't we just say the governor appoints three, the Senate president appoints three, and the Speaker appoints three?
Right. I think that's there, but I'm just trying to, do you have a recollection of the Speaker of the House appointing non-legislative members to councils? I just don't, I know the Speaker appointing members of the legislature, but I don't have a recollection of. Does anybody here recall that? I don't think the Speaker has ever gone out to appoint.
I've got to leave for about 2 seconds here.
We'll take care of this one.
That's from the Rail Belt Energy Council.
Mm-hmm. That is a mistake.
Sharon, I would, since we have changed what the council is doing, since they are now seeking to achieve a consensus in the state and reporting back to us, I think probably a case can be made that it should be a legislative council and not have private people on the council, because they're going to be going out to the private citizens in the state trying to seek to achieve this consensus. And so it ought to be legislators, and let's make it a third legislator that is appointed by the Speaker for something. But it doesn't make sense to me to put, now that we've changed what they're going to be doing, it makes more sense to just have it be a legislative council, and the governor is quite welcome. And if he wants his third person to be a private citizen, that's great.
Why is there a problem with the commission for evacuation?
I don't think, Mr. Chairman, there's not a problem, but the governor's spokesman testified before you came in that in their decision-making policy on natural resource issues, the Commissioner of Fish and Game and Commissioner D.C. are always involved. So why are we just picking DNR? Why don't we put Fish and Game or DEC or Commerce or somebody else? You know, I don't see where it's in our. Why are we interfering with who the governor can appoint? Why don't we just say a commissioner?
Mr. Hoffman, Mr. Davidson.
What's the status of the other budget request that the governor has made?
Oh, I moved to put Commissioner
D.C.
You might ask the governor's representative here.
Yeah, I'm just.
I'm sorry. This is what we're doing. The funding end of it?
and how would you see that this body interacting with the governor's, how the governor plans on spending his funds?
Well, the governor hadn't counted on this group to figure into his request for funding. I mean, that money is expended for specific purposes. So I guess, quite frankly, I don't see that it would fit in.
Can you go over those plans and how those funds are planned to be expended at this time?
Let's see. A good portion of the money was to be spent in terms of a, I guess I'd call it an advocacy program back in Washington, D.C. We're going to try to hire a media group that would try to do some media and advertising. We were going to get a firm on board that would participate within the Congress, stay on top of what the efforts, you know, how things were going back there, participate in the various hearings, keep us informed as to how things were going.
And coordinate with this council.
Mr. Davidson.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. We started a discussion on 333, and I was wondering what happened to that. The governor was going to appoint three, the speaker three, and the Senate.
That was my suggestion.
I think I could support something like that.
Three what?
Three threes.
Legislators?
Three people. So I had in mind. That way the governor could appoint who he wanted, the speaker and the president could appoint who they wanted. It would be
okay, well, you were out of the room. Since we've changed the scope of this to the council's going to come back to us with a report, I just thought it made sense for it to be a legislative group that went out to try to seek the consensus, because they're going to be going to the public to try to do that. So why put public members on the committee too? But I have a question for Mr. Swell.
What is your advertising or your media firm going to do?
I think a large portion of what they do is keep track of the various media efforts back there in terms of advocacy for, advocacy against.
Keeping track of other people's efforts.
Right.
Not doing a state effort.
Right.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I'll follow that up. But, I mean, the obvious question then is the governor, by passing this, going to go achieve a consensus prohibited from advocating some point of view that he says is the state's point of view? I don't think he is. I think the governor can go do what he wants to do. But, I mean, that's the question I guess you're asking. What is the governor going to go advocate while this process is going on?
Well, I'm curious. Mr. Swope said earlier that this wasn't needed because everyone was already very supportive, and we don't sound very supportive at this table, so I guess I don't want them chasing back there and spending the money advocating how supportive we are if we're not. So if they're going to spend however much money it is to watch what other people do media-wise, fine. If they're going to do media, and if they're going to hire this lobbyist they were talking about earlier to actually lobby, then I guess I've got a problem with it. Unless, you know, I think we ought to have a part in it. But he's answered my question.
Well, I talked to the President of the Senate about it, and she's allowed that she was going to appoint another senator anyway, so I think they're going to put three senators on, so my guess is that the Speaker does the same thing. So is that conceptually, because what we have to do is get this thing printed up, so if you're going to allow us to...
I just make a conceptual amendment thing.
333, okay. Now, the other thing that remains open is on page 2, the repeal, or should we repeal it January 11th, 88?
Sounds good.
When I show up to the report. Well, the way it is now, they're going to show up on the opening day with the report all finished. If it expired, then it would go back to the jurisdiction of the respective committees. Mr. Hoffman?
I guess it doesn't make sense to me that we don't state something in here that basically says that this council should interface with what the governor is doing, so that we're not going in two different directions.
The governor's people are going to be there, mm-hmm. and they're directed to seek a consensus in the state.
Mm-hmm.
that's where they're going to seek the consensus in the state, and they're going to report to the legislature. So now, again, I just let you know that I know that some of the senators are planning to go back on June 12th and testify in front of the Senate Energy Committee. If members of this committee want to do the same thing, I'm sure that you're going to find that you have the ability to do that. Anything else?
I just want to say
something.
Certainly. I really commend you for what you did do on AMLR this year in committee. And, I kind of don't like what's happening here, even though it's just going to go out of committee like this. But I think that there was a lot that, there wasn't discussion in committee. If we knew it was going to be like the 11th hour in the legislature, I think, we would have been better prepared for it. But I just really don't like the way that this AMLR resolution has gone, or not resolution, bill has gone forward, because, I really thought you did a good job of putting everything on the table. But, everything was on the table, and just like Bob told you, there's a lot of things on the table, but as far as us having any debate on it, I think really is there. I think
relying on you to come up with something better.
Hey, I had my own ideas, I'll tell you. But again, I don't think there's a lot of consensus on all those ideas. I didn't think it was fair to insist that my idea prevail on all the side issues. And I think that this way, you can say that you either do or don't in the finding. I mean, that could be a statement by the House of Representatives, whether they do or do not support. And that's the question. Do we support opening or not? And so this will give the House an opportunity to make a generic statement on that. And it doesn't presume that any consensus has been reached or could easily be reached by a small group of people that could be advocated to the Congress. So I don't really know that there's another way that we could resolve this. We could do absolutely nothing, which is, that's...
You see, we could have talked about it and, this blanket policy of, supporting it, it's just not what, I think we would have come up with something better out of committee and, had a... And other people going along, I don't know what's going to happen to this on if it ever kicks in or not. I think we've been doing a better job of what you have done.
Well, this bill came to us today, as you know.
So what's
Mr. Davidson?
I share the, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I share the concerns of Representative Herman. I mean, this 11th hour stuff is poor policy. I mean, here we spent all this time talking about AMLR, and here in the 11th hour we're going to jam this through. Now, I don't know if it's a good idea or not, but I also think that if you tried hard to reach some kind of consensus and gather information, and I just see another Finfish farm coming here that I don't quite understand what part it's supposed to play.
Well, it's a matter of, it's up to the committee. It won't hurt my feelings if you don't move the, you don't vote to move the bill out of committee. I don't know what else I can offer at this point in time either. Mr. Spring?
That's well.
I'd move that we pass the bill out of committee as amended. Committee substitute.
Okay.
Those in favor of moving the bill? 1, 2, 3, 4. Those opposed? Was it 5 in favor? Those in favor, raise your hand, please. There's 5 votes in favor. The bill is gone. It's a CS, and staff will make every attempt to get it typed and replaced in the clerk's hand.
I understand.
We have a marriage bill. We have a marriage
I hate to join in with the Republicans, but
yeah.
That's a situation.
I wish we could have kept that
other language in there.
One thing I do when I talk to John Katz.
Not anymore.
It wasn't 11th hour. It's just buried that I was supposed to call him and say, hey. Let's go back into the circuit.
It's going.
I have to go back to the house.
Oh, really? That'll be interesting. Where's that?
So you may want to talk to him about how you could prepare, you know, a good idea. Talk to people in the wildlife service, you know, particularly. Talk to some congressmen.
Number one, don't work for the state. Two, anything to do with the legislature.
You have no civil rights, so things will get better.
You're awful.
Anyway, that's just generally what I do, and I'll be glad to help out, and sometimes it's better to go back with other people, too.
Excuse me,
I'm just not sure when.
Swift, did you sign?
Yes, sir.
Sam, did you sign?
Yes.
If you do have a schedule sometime, you need to call.
Okay, yeah. I don't like to go by myself either.
Yeah, I don't.
It's better to get again.
But, you know.
To state the contrary of will. All my assets that I have go to my wife. And then it says in this other form, it says I want to go to my partner Joe in the will.
But I'm going to say right back over there.
But in the will, it says all of my assets go to my wife, but on this form, it tells us that my limit, I want my limit to include my partner here. He files it. So you have two pieces of testimony.
Well, that's the idea, take it out of the state. But just in case, it's a quality.
Okay. Hey. So give it a chance.
You're skipping on Friday. I mean, I have.
No.
Got my keys and it's letting me go home, so please don't leave me alone.
Are they about to start session?
No, not yet.
I
Like, serious goodbye?
Yeah.
Oh, well, pardon?
Will the House come back to order? Before the at ease, we're at the bottom of today's calendar. Mr. Majority Leader?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that we recess for a majority caucus to reconvene.
At the call of the chair.
At the call of the chair.
Representative Adams?
For announcements, Mr. Speaker. The operating conference committee will begin again at 11 p.m. tonight. Thank you.
Mr. Minority Leader?
We'll have a minority caucus in the Butchovich room. Thank you.
Stand in recess.
Thank you.